In the last couple of verses of chapter 6, verse 26, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. I need to switch glasses to read. Chapter 7, verse 1 begins with "but." "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought us this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon this thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that you'll help us to learn and grow by it, helps to avoid the dangers and the problems that Israel made. Help us learn from their mistakes so we don't make the same mistakes also. These principles that we'll look at tonight affect us, and so help us to learn and help us to put into practice in our life. And we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Joshua and Israel had marched around Jericho each day one time, and then on the seventh day, seven times, and they blew the trumpets and shouted with a great shout, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And Jericho ordered the men to up and come across into the city and destroy the people. And they wrought a great slaughter. And God promised Joshua, if he would be brave and obedient and study the word of God, that he would bless him as he did Moses. And Joshua had followed all God's instructions on how to defeat Jericho. It was not by his military genius or by the might of the soldiers, but by the plan that God revealed to them. They were obedient to God, and it went as God promised. Joshua placed a curse on anyone trying to rebuild the city of Jericho, that he would lose his two sons. The first would die in the foundation, and the second would die in the setting up of the gates. If you have your outline, it's 1 Kings 16, verse 34, explains the man who tried, a Bethelite, who tried to rebuild. His son Abiram died in the foundation, and his son Segub died in the setting up of the gates. Now, many people are still today like this man, Hiel. They think the warnings of Scripture were given 2,000 or 4,000 years ago, and they wouldn't be applicable to us today. But God's warnings are always applicable. If we try to learn how serious God is about the warnings that he gave to Joshua, we see exactly what took place. Joshua's fame spread abroad because the Lord was with him, and as he promised, Joshua obeyed. Now, chapter 7 begins with but. Prior to this, Israel had been completely victorious in crossing Jordan, completely victorious at Gilgal, completely victorious at Jericho. But God had warned them not to take any of the spoil from the people. They were to kill the people, and they were not to take any of the valuable things of Jericho. They were to be put into the treasury of the Lord's house. So that made them a devoted thing unto God, but an accursed thing unto them if they would steal of the spoil of the people. We saw in chapter 6, 18 and 19, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. In chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, we see three reasons that Israel failed with Ai when they did not fail defeating Jericho that was much larger than Ai, which was a small place. First, they were overconfident. They were self-confident because they just defeated Jericho and they thought they could just immediately go right on and attack Ai without seeking the Lord, without praying, without asking God to give them the methods that he had done with Jericho. And so they were overconfident because of their great victory. Self-confidence is a problem for us all. We get in the energy of the flesh and think, oh, we can do that. We don't need to have a revival. We don't need to fast. We don't need to pray. We can do that. Yeah, and God may let you fall on your face in the same way to just show you who's in charge. And we oftentimes make foolish mistakes. The experience of defeat is all too common among us. We operate in the energy of the flesh rather than in the energy of the Holy Spirit. We can be defeated by indwelling sin. We can be defeated by operating in the flesh and not in the spirit. They compared Ai to Jericho. It was a very small city comparatively. They figured we've destroyed Jericho. You know, we don't even need to take the whole army. We just take a couple thousand men up there and get this place. And so they did at least smartly take 3,000 men when they attacked the city. But they ran before the enemy, and that was a terrible thing to happen because the word of that would spread just as fast as the word spread about God parting the Jordan and letting them come through on dry ground. Now they failed. It's a danger when we've been victorious, we can get prideful and arrogant. After all, God's with us. And he was with them at Jericho, and they defeated them surely. But most of that defeat was God. It wasn't the army of Israel. It wasn't Joshua so much. It was they did what God told them to do, and God made the walls of the city fall down. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that it in me, it is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not." Paul said we struggle with battles of the flesh. People say, well, I'll just follow your heart. You hear that all the time. Follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In verse 10 and 11, he said, "I, the Lord, try the heart, the reins of it, and put it to the test." In Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19, it's from the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, drunkenness, all the sins of the flesh come from the heart. The heart is the seat of the flesh. But what we need is the power of God and not to operate in the energy of the flesh. First of all, they were overconfident. Second, They failed because they did not wait on God. They did not seek God. They did not pray. Total neglect of searching for God's will in how to attack Ai. They just thought, we got this. This small place, we'll send 3,000 up there, they'll wipe them out in no time. They did not first, after the battle, return to Gilgal as they were supposed to do and seek the Lord and give God praise and thanks for what he'd done for them at Jericho. Because of not praying and not seeking the Lord, they were defeated and ran before the enemy. And Joshua falls on his face on the ground before God. If he had fell on his face on the ground before God before they went up to Ai, no doubt God would have revealed to him that they had sinned and that the power of God would not be among them because they had taken of the accursed things. Now, God blames the whole nation of Israel for doing this, but we see in the judgment there's only one man and one family that receives judgment because of it. His name is Achan. If we learn, we always need to seek God in prayer before we make decisions. Business deals or whatever they be. I don't know how many times it's happened to you. It's happened to me many times that I've done something, made a decision, and afterwards thought, I should have stopped and prayed before I made that decision. And I didn't do it. And Lord, if you let it go through without it causing us a problem, I thank you and praise you. Help me to remember to be a man of prayer. Guide us and close the door on us if this is not your will for our life. Guide us to make the wise choice so that in times of victory we won't have to plead as they did in defeat. If we praise God for the victory and pray for his guidance in the battle, we won't have to fall on our face before God in defeat like Joshua had to do. Now, God rebukes Joshua and told him to get up off his face and deal with the sin in the camp. He should know by the defeat that came that there was a serious problem. They could have easily defeated this small place, Ai, but because they ran before them, Joshua should have known that God was not among them in this for some reason. And so it was because they had taken of the accursed things. They'd operated in the flesh. We should always seek the mind of God when we're going to make decisions and go forward. Churches really should seek the mind of God before they borrow money and build buildings and you know, get in debt and all those kind of things. I've seen so many of them falter because of doing it in their own strength. Satan is watching us all the time, and he knows where we've failed in the past, and he knows how to attack us in that same way again. He will use every advantage against us. So they were overconfident. They didn't pray and seek the Lord. Thirdly, it was the sin of disobedience because of Achan taking the accursed thing. God blamed the whole nation for their sin because we all affect other people by the sins that we commit. A church is a body of believers, and we are together, and we influence and affect one another. And Achan was a part of the nation of Israel, actually from the tribe of Judah. And he made a failure that cost 36 men's lives. Let's read on just a little bit in our chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people. Say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, and all the children of Israel laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and the sons and daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor, a place of troubling, where trouble was made. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So the disobedience was the third reason why they failed before the enemy. This defeated Ai was only the defeat they, it was the only defeat they suffered in the entire campaign of fighting with the other nations to take over the land. They learned a great lesson from it. Joshua feared all the Canaanites surrounding them and getting motivated by the defeat and attacking them. But God had no problem with protecting them. God said, up, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for there's an accursed thing among thee. You won't be able to stand against the enemy until you remove the accursed thing. When we get sin in our life, and then we try to do something for God, and we fall on our face, until we make things right with the Lord, we're not going to have the power of God to go forward and to do something for the Lord. We must confess our sin and seek his forgiveness. Sin defeats us. Sin robs us of fellowship with God. It robs us of the power of the Holy Spirit. God will put a hedge of protection about us if we are right with him when we face the enemy. But if we're not right with him, there'll be no hedge of protection. They gathered the tribes, and God took the tribe and the family and the household and him that was guilty, and they burned him with fire. Verse 14, 15. They gathered the whole 12 tribes, but then God chose Judah because it was through the tribe of Judah, the Zarhites, that Achan's family came. And he confessed his sin to Joshua when Joshua confronted him with the situation. Now, thankful to God, we live in a day where if we sin and we confess it to God, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't have to worry about being burned with fire because we've done something wrong. We can confess it to God and he'll remove it from us. But in that day, it required a sacrifice to cleanse the land. when wicked things were done. Without that, there was no cleansing of the land. So Judah was taken and Achan was taken, and he confessed his sin. And here's what he said. He said, "I committed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I saw, I coveted, I took." We face that temptation constantly all the time to take of something that we should not, to yield to the flesh, to seek pleasure from sin. Achan confessed his sin. And because of his sin, 36 men had died. The nation ran before Ai, and God's name would be dishonored. God's power would be doubted. So there was a lot more taking place here with his sin than just a matter of stealing something. His entire family was destroyed because of his sin. We've all known some people who were at church at some point in time, going to church, maybe good people, and they had children and all that sort of thing, and then they got into sin, and 10, 15, 20 years down the road, their whole family's an absolute wreck. God has brought punishment upon them because of their sins, and many have paid dearly for what they did. This entire family was destroyed at the Valley of Achor, a place of troubled waters to afflict. Israel was troubled by the man stealing something, and 36 men dying. Those families were troubled because of that. And God was angry, but the punishment removed the Lord's anger and the fierceness of it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So let us immediately turn from our sin and confess it to God and seek his forgiveness, as 1 John 1:9 says. Instead of trying to hide our sin, or wait until it gets exposed, or wait until we suffer a great chastening from God, let us immediately confess it to God that we've done wrong and seek to make it right. I remember in the first year of the congregation that we put together with this church, a teenage girl let me know that she had been a shoplifter. And she had taken everything she stole and put it into a bag and put it in a dumpster. And she didn't know how to take it back because she didn't even know all the stores she took it from. And she didn't want to face dealing with that. So she threw it all away. She put it in a dumpster and got rid of it and asked the Lord to forgive her for doing that. And she confessed that she had done it. Man looks at sin, he thinks it's little. But he continues in it with little thought of its penalty. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Proverbs 6:16-19, "All sin is an abomination unto God. God hates those that work iniquity." Sin began with Satan in his self-will. The evidence of sin is clear among men. We look at the darkness of sin in the lives of society today. We look at prisons. We look at the court system. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is unbelief, denying God's truth. Sin is going our own way, planning our days without any reference to God leading us and guiding us and pleasing him with what we do. All unrighteousness is sin. Sin will deceive you. It is a force to destroy you. It is a fact to condemn you. Sin is disobedience against God. Adam sinned and his seed was corrupted. Romans 5:12 says, By one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We can lie and deceive without anybody teaching us. We can be corrupt. We are under condemnation until we come to know the Lord is our Savior. John 3:18-19 and 3:36. Sin's wages are death. Death does not annihilate, but it does separate. In the Garden of Eden, man was separated from God. He was not annihilated because of his sin, but he was separated from God. In physical death, it separates the soul and spirit from the body. Finally, separating from God, unsaved men are cast in the lake of fire, where there is no mercy in that place. There is no light in that place. There is no deliverance from that place. The remedy for sin is God's salvation, eternal life. It's not reforming the old man that we were, but it's the birth of a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Christ substituted himself to take the punishment for our sins. Joshua and Israel learned a valuable lesson at Ai because they did not lose another battle to another nation through all they went through in taking over the promised land of Canaan. God help us to be people that learn and seek God's face and please Him with our lives and thank Him and praise Him for all He does for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. We ask You to bless them, encourage them, and hedge them about as they travel. Help us, Lord, to please You and serve You and tell other people about how good You are. We love You tonight, Father, and we give You praise. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.